Good morning. This was an exciting week. So we have three big weeks at church: Christmas, Easter, and VBS. VBS seems to be the biggest stressor of all, but it's also our biggest outreach by far as children come to us. But Christmas and Easter are times that we go out in the community and share the central message of our Lord and Savior, who is the Lamb of God who was slain. And because he died in the flesh, he rose in the flesh at some point in time, and when history ends, we too will rise in the flesh to be with Jesus for eternity. This is the gospel of grace. We also understand that we're all sinful human beings in need of a Savior. None of us is perfect. If you think you're perfect, just ask people who know you. They'll tell you your imperfections. So when we begin to understand grace and the gospel, we have an opportunity to share the gospel of God's grace. So I asked the staff to put this together during the month of May, and I invite you to take this out and look at it with me today. This is a biblical perspective through the eyes of the staff. If this disagrees with how you see the history of Peace Lutheran Church, that's okay, because everybody sees it from their own unique perspective. We honor your perspective, and please honor the staff's perspective as well. So what we did is that we put the time of Abraham, the time of Moses, and the time of Joshua, the three main pastors. Now, some of you will say is that, well, you forgot the first pastor. So I'm going to answer this question, your question, with a question. By raising your hands, tell me the name of Abraham's father. Can you tell me the name of Abraham's father? One, two, three, four. I see four people who know Abraham's father. His name was Terah. The first pastor here, his name was Pastor Clens. Okay? So, obviously, Terah is important because without Terah, there is no Abraham. And without Pastor Clens, there is no Pastor Neeb, Pastor Weiser, and Pastor Muller. Okay, you begin to understand? So when we begin to look at the church history, we want to celebrate the history and talk about where we are in the history, because there's always hope. And that's the good news, is because we are people of hope. We are people of the gospel, where Jesus Christ lives and dies and rises again. So the time of Pastor Neeb is he was basically here for 30 years. That's a one to two generations very easily. A very young congregation and a young pastor. Very exciting time, not knowing where you're going, but you're just praising God because you are growing. And so he's a family man, a calming spirit. And everybody who on the staff said, everybody felt warm and fuzzy when Pastor Neeb was here. So he was a very godly man here for 30 years. Now, that doesn't make the other pastors ungodly. That just means that they're not warm and fuzzy like Pastor Neeb. Okay, you got that? Okay, so if you got my wife and me together, who's the warm and fuzzy one? It's not me. I will tell you that. Because all you have to do is recognize when our kids got hurt, they didn't come to me, they came to Mom, because I would pat you on the head and say, go out and play, and she would love on you and kiss you and all that. So you begin to understand warm and fuzzy, that's not me. And Pastor Weiser, warm and fuzzy, but not quite as warm and fuzzy as Pastor Neeb. So here we have, and we kind of called him our Moses, if you will. And Walt's call process is that he was an associate pastor when Pastor Neeb was retiring, and it took two congregational votes. And in those days, they had long voters meetings. Okay, thank God we only have one a year and plus special called ones, but I even read in the minutes that they had a 4.5-hour voters meeting. Started at 7 o'clock and got over at 11:30. Man, is that insanity or what? Are you happy that we don't have voters meetings like that? So, I mean, that's some of the old history we hear. Pastor Weiser led this congregation to where it is today, I mean, in the building program. I mean, when you begin to understand, is we've had one chapel, two chapels, and now this is our third chapel, if you will, our sanctuary where we meet. And the congregation continued to grow, and we birthed five churches. Okay, so we ought to praise God for that. So let's take a moment and let's praise God. Not many churches can say that they have birthed five churches, but this church can say that because that is a gift of God's grace. So we all know that, at least those of you who knew Pastor Weiser, he loved to fish, he loved to be out in the desert, he loved a lot of things that were outside. He was very good at reconciliation, and his departure was like the death in the congregation. So understand that there may be some people who still like to go back and revisit that portion of our history. On this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall, I and a few elders will be there to listen to your hurts, to listen to your anything you want to say, but there are ground rules on how you say it. So please understand that this is a time of healing, a time of listening, and a time of loving people where they are. When Pastor Jim was here, we call him the Joshua. He was here for 4.5 years. Pastor Weiser was here for 38.5 years. And when we saw in Jim's time, is that he was an incredible person, and he was a visionary. And, you know, a visionary sees the future of what can be. Now, I tell the staff that there's a difference between a person who is a martyr and a person who is basically leading, and that's usually like three paces. And in the military terms, if you get too far out, you can get killed by friendly fire just as well as enemy fire. So you can't get too far out in front of the congregation. Probably at times that Pastor Jim got too far out in front of the congregation. And you know how much Lutherans love change, right? That is not in our vocabulary at all. Okay, and I've told you this before, but the only people who like change is a baby with a dirty diaper. And sometimes they'll run from you until you can catch them to change it, okay? But understand is that we resist change if we didn't think about it and we don't own it. So it has to be a time where when we talk about change, there has to be a time for ownership of the process as well. So during the tenure of all three pastors, this is what we can say about the congregation. They supported the ministry with their offerings, and they supported the ministry with their volunteer and engagement in the congregation. So let's praise the Lord for the membership of this church. So there is some good news, is there not? I mean, there really is. So now we're in the time of the judges, the time of transition. And I am here for a short time. I don't know how long that will be until God provides our next senior pastor. But I thank God that I have the opportunity to be here to be your senior interim pastor because I love what God is doing in this church. And I got to visit it all 5 days this last week and watch God sharing the good news through his people with children. And boy, that is exciting to see that. It's also exciting to see you as God's people out in the community as well as being the church. Now, I will tell you that we went out and ate at Olive Garden last week, and I had the opportunity to pray for the server. I asked her if she had any prayer requests. She thought, probably not. And then she said, oh, my dad's having heart surgery. His name was John, so we prayed for John. And we thank God that he was going to have the surgery. We prayed that he would get through it very, very well. I mean, you're not me. You won't do the same things I do, but I do know that you're out in the community sharing the good news of Jesus Christ because all members were here from 1 to 2 hours on Sunday, maybe a few other hours during the week, but the majority of our time is spent out in the community, and we are the church in our community sharing God's love. So I kind of want to share you with that. I also had the staff do this one, a metaphor application, and this is a little bit different than looking at the history, is what three words would creep up to really talk about some of the things where we need to go as a church. And one is trusting. And you can see that we felt as a staff that we're about 75% where we need to be, but there's a 25% where we need to go. So A way to gain trust is to communicate and be more transparent. So as a staff, we're trying to do that. We're encouraging the leadership as well. But we're encouraging you as well is that communication goes two ways. So this Wednesday night, if you have hurts, bring them so we can listen and love on you and help you to move past wherever you are. This is a group activity. We are a church. We are a body of believers. Humility is that kind of servant heart. There are so many of us that volunteer and say, hey, I want to be involved, but there's so many of us that like to sit on our hands and just say, okay, let somebody else do it. Well, the one thing that everybody can do is pray. And I know if you're really, really old, and you know, we had a member at Grace Lutheran Church, he was 103, and she would talk about all those old people. There wasn't very many old people older than she was, but that was how she always thought about it. She never felt herself old. She was a prayer warrior. So everybody can pray for this church. We can pray for the new pastor that God will bring, and we can thank God for being our shepherd leader here at our congregation. And we're looking for unity, and basically, my role was to bring the staff together starting April the 15th. I'll always remember because that's tax day as I started. And within 3 weeks, we were much more unified than we were. So we were going down the road together in a direction. But we're also trying to say, as the leaders of this church, as the staff and the lay leaders, we have to bring this church together because we can do more things together than we can do separately. So you see all these cans out here. There's about 1,000 cans. Is that, how many? 2,000 cans, okay. So who won? Girls, right? Boo. Well, the boys almost won. It was close. But I couldn't have done 2,000 cans by myself. It took a group effort. So just begin to look at, if we want to grow this church, it takes a group effort of inviting people to come and meet Jesus here at Peace Lutheran Church. Can we do these things? I cannot hear you. Okay, we can do them. Thank you very, very much. Okay, so we'd like to do this exercise with you right now. If you were here when Pastor Mueller was here, please stand. So if you were a member at Peace Lutheran Church when Pastor Mueller was here, stand, okay? So if you were a member when Pastor Weiser was here, please remain standing. If you weren't here when Pastor Weiser was a pastor, please sit. Okay, now look around. Okay, look at how many people are standing. Now, if you were a member when Pastor Neeb was here, please remain standing. Now, you notice is that a lot of people sat down. But we praise God for the membership here during three pastors' time. So let's praise the Lord. Okay, so what kind of church do we want to be? John Bauer asked that question during staff. And so I thought about it, but a better way probably to express it is what kind of church does God want this to be? So to find out what kind of church we want to be, we're going to look at the book of Acts. And I basically take in Acts chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 42, and then we're going to look at verses 46 and 47. So if you look at this, these numbers is what I put in there. They're not in the Bible. But I wanted to show you four attributes in verse 42, and they are the apostles' teaching, which is the doctrine. Now remember, we have just gone through a sermon series called Christianity 101. Okay, so we've been talking about doctrine for a number of weeks, and we also talk about some kind of Bible study as well. We also talk about fellowship, and when we're talking about fellowship like this, I kind of call it small groups because the one thing is that normally you sit in the same place every Sunday, and if I would see you out in the foyer, you'd be standing in the same place talking to the same people, Okay? So in the early church, it was no different. When they came to worship, they would stand in the same place. And when they left worship, they would go and mingle with the same people. Okay? So I call that fellowship. God calls it fellowship. And I call it like small group ministry. Thirdly is the breaking of bread. This is the Lord's Supper. And obviously, you talk about baptism as well. And fourth is prayer. That's corporate and individual. So when we come together, this is corporate prayer. We'll be right after the sermon. But we also have individual prayer as well. And then the 5 through 7 is every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. That was worship time. They broke bread in their homes. Now, this is a different kind of small group ministry. This is kind of what we're going to really raise up in the fall, is many more small groups where you meet in homes or you meet here on campus. You fellowship, you eat. But we're also going to add a component where you're going to go out and do some kind of servant event quarterly so that we can really begin to get out into the community to share God's love. And lastly is praising God. And this is the witness. We praise God and we gain favor with people. So when I go out and I pray for a person who's my server, do I gain their favor? And the answer is yes, because I invested in them, and I invite them into the relationship with Jesus. So I tried to put this in a little bit different format. So here's where you maybe want to take out your handout, and here's your notes section today. So word, worship, and witness. Okay, so I took all seven and I put them into three categories of word, worship, and witness. And you notice that doctrine is in all three areas because the doctrine of the church is Jesus is Lord, Jesus died, rose again, we are sinful human beings, we need Jesus, and if we believe in him, we have the gift of eternal life. That's the good news. And faith is a gift. It's not something you do. It's something that the Holy Spirit does to you through the working of the Word. That's the doctrine, if you will. The fellowship is that small group in Word. And the more we can group together, the better we become because we know one another. We know children. We know a lot of different things. But then as we come together, we can do more than one family. If 5 families get together, they can do more than one family. And then the prayers. I mean, when you get together in a small group and pray for one another, and then you can call one another, text one another, let them know, is that I'm praying for you, how is everything going? I mean, I see these thumbs going real well. Some of you, if you don't want to write this down, just take a picture of it. That's another way to do it. So you got all kinds of different ways to do it this morning. Worship, once again, is doctrine. It's the breaking of bread, Lord's Supper. It's a prayer, and that's the corporate time. And they met together in the temple courts. But they got to stand, okay? So if you get to stand for an hour or so, it's a lot harder than sitting for an hour, is it not? Okay? So thank God for pews. Thank God for chairs. And then the witness portion. Once again, it's all doctrine, and it's praising God in our witness and then telling people about the good news. So when we begin to look at all of these things, it is a different way that we can look at these things. So I'd like to maybe get you to think about this as we look at this. I want to look at it a little bit different way today is how many times do you think Jesus gave the Great Commission in the New Testament? Do you think it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? So if you think it's 5, raise your hand. Okay. If you think it's 4, raise your hand. If you think it's 3, raise your hand. If you think it's 2, raise your hand. If you think it's 1, raise your hand. Now, how many of you don't know? Raise your hand. There. See, that's the honest answer, okay? So let's look at how many times Jesus gave the Great Commission. We're going to read this together. We read, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So we know Jesus gave one great commission. Let's see if he gave a second one. Oh, he did in Mark. Let's read this together. "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.' Okay, so there's a second great commission of proclaiming the gospel, which Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's see if there's a third. Oh, there is a third. Okay, let's read this together. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name and to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witness of these things. So we know it's at least three times. Is there a fourth one? Oh, yeah, there's a fourth gospel in John. We read this together. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Okay, so we are sent people. We are apostles going and sharing the gospel. Now, is there a fifth one? Of course there is. It's at the beginning of the book of Acts. We read this together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Okay, so five times we have the Great Commission. Do you think it was important to Jesus that we have a Great Commission? And remember, mission and co, that means we are co-missioners. Okay, that means we are co-gospelers. We are out to share the good and great news of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. For those of you who are much more mathematical, Rick Warren has put it into this framework. Okay, GC plus GC plus GC equals GC. Great Commission, okay? We just went through that. Great commandment is love God with your heart, your soul, your body, and mind. And the second part is to love your neighbor as yourself. So Great Commission plus Great Commandment. A great Christian is one who is in the Word of God on their own. Doesn't have to be daily, but if it's daily, that's better than once a week. But get into the Word yourself. A great Christian is someone who prays for their family, their community, their friends. Okay, a great Christian is one who tells others about Jesus as Lord. So if you got great commission, great commandment, great Christian, we have a great church. So as we shared the history of this church today, this is a great place to be, a great place to fellowship, a great way to praise God for all the blessings that we have. But for some of us, we may be stuck in the past, in our history. So this Wednesday, we're going to open it up to anyone who wants to come, and we're going to share. So I need this next, there we go. Wednesday night, June the 26th, 7 o'clock in the fellowship hall. We'll have elders here, and there will be ground rules of how we share our hurts, is that we can't blame somebody else, but we can talk about our pain. We want to love on you, we want to listen to you, and we want to help you to move forward where you are. Now, I can tell you one thing that I have learned being a pastor for over 30 years, is that there's parking lot talk. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, where you go and you say, I'm not happy about something at Peace Lutheran Church, but I can't solve it if you never come and tell me. That makes sense? Okay, just like if your neighbor does something wrong and you're angry with them, but you never go over and tell them, they're not good guessers. I mean, I'm a guy, I never guess well. Okay, I always tell my wife, is don't hint, just tell me. Sometimes 2x4 time, I know, just put it out in front of me so I know what you're talking about. Okay, this is a time for healing for anyone who wants to come and to share. You will not be judged. You will be loved upon. You'll be listened to. And if it takes more than one Wednesday, we'll do Wednesdays as long as I'm here. Because whatever issues we have, we want to take care of them before the next pastor gets here. That's good stewardship. Because we want this pastor to hit the ground running, and let's move forward, because we're about great commission, great commandment, great Christians, because this is a great church. And all God's people say,
amen.
We stand for prayer.